Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Sovereignty washing, a term of art I've just learned from the Financial Times about the concerns of the European Union, the major actors on the continent, for tech supremacy, observing that California is supreme globally and especially in Europe. Where is the technology? Where is the Silicon Valley? Where is the AI of Europe? I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. This is a Scholar Report, and Chris is in a position where he can observe the same thing without getting in the way of Europeans' sovereignty washing. He has business on all the continents. It's digital. And his customers, his clients, observe the regulatory environment of the continents, America under Biden, America under Trump, Asia before and after the black market formed from NVIDIA chips, and now Europe, sovereignty washing. Chris, a very good evening to you. The concern in a lengthy piece in the Financial Times is that Europe does not put together the amount of capital needed to finance the next generation of technology, which is going to be driven, in the assumption of this article, by AI and servers, server farms, clouds, the high-end stuff that Microsoft and NVIDIA do so well. And that the complaint is the regulatory environment, along with the lack of capital to call upon, has made Europe a second-hand story for now and for the future. Do you observe through your clients' remarks the different parts of the EU? France is here, Britain is there. Britain's not EU, but it's NATO. Or Scandinavia is there. Is there a chilling effect of the different regulations when you try to build big? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think there's several interlocking problems there. I wouldn't call Europe a second-class tech environment. I'd call it a third-class tech environment. You go U.S. number one, China and parts of Southeast Asia number two, and Europe's really number three. Europe is blessed with a great university system, very smart, very motivated, very driven people coming through that university system in the tech world. And as soon as they graduate, the first thing they do is try to move to the U.S. or get jobs with U.S. tech companies, because there's both a lack of opportunity in European tech companies. There are not dominant European tech companies in most parts of tech, and they don't participate in many parts of tech as a whole, number one. Number two, if you're a bright student with skills in AI or next generation technology, the tax environments in Europe are oppressive. So with an oppressive tax environment there, the best and brightest flee to the U.S. in a better environment, their opportunity to become wealthy, to become successful, because you have in the U.S. the capital structure, the established companies, the opportunity, and you don't have literally government oppression of emerging and advanced tech in many ways.
I'm glad you went right to employment, because that's part of the discouraging landscape painted by this article. I want to combine it with that term sovereignty washing. What they're coming up against now is how to hold on to their people and how to build big. And they're proposing, quite amazingly, legislation and regulations that insist upon using a European vendor as opposed to an international or an American vendor. Somebody pointed out from the back of the room, hey, you know, we don't think the WTO would like this. But there's their solution, to hold on to their talent by insisting that bidders are bidders are advanced to the front of the line if they have Europeans. Basis for their personnel and their headquarters. Microsoft, I learned, and I think Google as well, but certainly Microsoft, have tried to deal with this competition by having declarations that the work in France, for example, stays in France. They have French people administering it in a French server. I don't know that that's adequate, but it is the first response. So what Europe has is a challenge now to choose European companies, smaller, but they want to grow, and not violate the WTO. Can they do that? Is that possible?
So, John, it's possible to implement local hosting, local services rules. That's happened really over the last 10 years because of U.S. spying on U.S. hosted assets on a global basis. That being said, the Europeans, specifically Brussels, does not understand that you cannot regulate yourself to innovation. The quite oppressive policies towards tech entrepreneurs, towards tax structure, towards venture capitalists and private equity, simply drives out those talented people and those with opportunity to the U.S. or to Singapore or to other markets. So ultimately, Europe has the key points necessary in terms of the human capital to be successful, but they have to remove the regulatory and the restrictive nature of many of the laws and the business and tax structures to be able to get the best and brightest to stay. Without that, the best and brightest people in tech will always have a global opportunity to go to any part in the world that matches an opportunity with their capabilities for success.
There's a chart accompanying the FT piece showing the venture capital funds raised between 2016 and 2024. It's so dominantly American that there's no sense in me repeating the details here. And I'm puzzling if this connects to a remark that Rachel Reeves made in these last days, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And I paraphrase that we've got to stop fear of risk and we've got to start concern for challenges, pointing to the education system or something in the water in Britain that makes them risk averse. And of course, that's the nature of the tech supremacy in California. You fail 30 times and you hit Airbnb and you're okay for the rest of your life. Is it your experience that Britain different than the continent, that there are different parts of the continent, EU and NATO, that are risk tolerant and others that are not?
I don't know that I would say Britain is more risk tolerant. There's a general malaise across Europe in the fear of failing that has been a consistent problem through the last kind of 50 years of tech there. That being said, within the UK, you do have a leg up in which they realize how far behind the power curve they are. In many areas of Germany, France, other parts of continental Europe, there's simply just not an awareness yet as to how big the tech gap is, as well as how far behind many of the domestic companies are in not able to compete outside of their borders. U.S. tech tends to look at global scale very, very quickly. Most of the European tech is limited by borders because they're wards of the state, effectively, whether it be research or government protection, but they're not given that opportunity to succeed.
The AI, because that's the fresh talk. Eventually, we'll get to quantum computing, but right now we're on AI. Is raising an enormous amount of money all the time. It's throwing itself. The money is throwing itself at AI. Europe is standing there and watching it, if I understand. They're not putting together anything that can answer it. And maybe that's a fear of risk. I think it's mostly just because they don't work together. They call themselves the EU, a trading market, but they don't pay attention to one leader or one vision of the future. France might want to get out front, and Germany is doubtful, or Germany is in another economic cycle. You have business on the continent. You have business in Britain. You have business throughout the southern part of the continent, which is a distinctly more challenging economic environment than the northern part. Do they talk about this? Do your customers or your employees who hear from customers, do they hear that there are complaints about he doesn't take risks the way I want to? Finger pointing around the continent?
John, there's just an established understanding today, unfortunately, in most of Europe, that European companies do not innovate at the same level in tech, do not move at the same speed. to use the example in San Francisco alone, there are 280 new AI startups at scale with substantial funding. Of those 280, maybe 265 or 270 of them will fail. But the 10 that succeed might be $500 billion to trillion-dollar companies if successful in their missions. The only other place that is somewhat mirrored in the world is you see in Dubai, big investments going into AI. And if you're a Brit, if you're French, if you can't go to the U.S., you may end up in the Emirates because of the very favorable tax policy and investment in AI and investment in next generation technologies, or Singapore. So there's limited spots around the world that have the California-like opportunities of capital, smart people, and experienced product companies.
I see what the challenge is. It's discouraging that we need the EU to weigh in, but in the meantime, the brain drain is everything. Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the very occupied continents right now, watching each other about the next gen of tech supremacy, which is artificial intelligence. Scholar Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.